Chapter 2. At the Cabin. That July we went on a 2-day trip. We rented a cabin from a friend who owned one in the hill country by the lake. We also owned a lot there, but we hadn't built anything on it yet. We rented a boat and planned on doing a lot of fishing. Sissy agreed to take care of Dean for me that weekend. He was only a year old then. And the five of us packed up our weekend provisions. We were off to the lake. It was only about an hour's drive away, but the landscape was very different there and very beautiful. Soon we were at the little cabin in the woods, each one with the fishing pole and gear. We took balls and badminton set and several other things we never used. Isn't that how it is? Even in a mini vacation like this one, you always pack a lot more than you need. But we wanted to make sure the kids would be able to keep themselves entertained. There was no electricity in that area. At least my friend had not decided to connect to it. But roughing it was what we were supposed to be enjoying that weekend. We brought fuel for the camp stove, packed our cooler with sandwiches and picnic stuff. But of course, we bragged about how we were going to have a lot of fish to eat. Darren, who was 8 at the time, decided he was going to hunt, too, for rabbits. There was an abundance there. He was going to have plenty of rabbits to eat as well, he says. Soon we were at the cabin unpacking all of our supplies. You would have thought we were going to stay a month. My husband Gary, Sonia, Darren, got the boat off its trailer and decided that before they did anything else, they were going out on the boat. So that left the task of putting everything away up to Sunshine and me. We took care of it in about a half an hour. There was a rocking chair in the cabin. I carried it outside and angled it so we could see the lake. Sunshine sat in my lap, and I put my arms around her. With her head on my shoulder, I began singing. Sunshine on my shoulder makes me happy. Sunshine on my shoulders makes me glad. For each of my kids, I had a favorite song, but for Sunshine, I had several. Sing I'm Your Sunshine, Mama, she said, tilting her little head back, looking up my eyes. I gave her a big kiss on her forehead and began singing, You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. She knew it by heart. She sang with me, but she would sing Mama instead of Sunshine. You'll never know, Mama, how much I love you. Please don't take my Mama away. She reached up and gave me a kiss. I love you so much, Mama. Me, you too, my sweet little sunshine. We sat there for about a half an hour, comfortable as ever in each other's company. You can see how I'd become so especially attached to this job. We watched the boats out on the lake. Soon we could see the others coming back. I see them, Mama, I see them, Sunshine said, pointing off to one side. I'd seen them long before, but I wanted her to have the joy of being first. She hopped down from my lap. Here they come, she cried, jumping up and down. Hey, you guys, catch any fish? No, Darren yells back, but we saw a lot jumping. There's a lot of fish out there, and we're going to get them. Everyone was hungry. We got out the old camping stove and heated up some homemade soup I'd brought along with the sandwiches. Soon it started to get dark. The guys readied for their night fishing. They packed all kind of stuff. They said the fish eat better at night. Personally, I don't see why fish would eat better in the dark. It's harder for me. The girls and I were supposed to find girl stuff to do while they were gone. I'm not quite sure how we were supposed to do this in a cabin with no electricity, only lanterns for light, but nevertheless, the guys said they'd stay close so they could keep an eye on the cabin. We were going out every once in a while and giving them a wave with the lantern and let them know everything was okay. That evening in the cabin, Sonia, Sunshine, and I told stories. We sang songs, shared a large bag full of peanuts by the lantern light. We did all kind of roughing it girly stuff. In a couple of hours, the guys were back with their catch. Naturally, we had to sit down and lend an ear while they told the how they caught 'em stories. Darren was very proud. This wasn't his first fish, but it was the largest one he'd ever caught. I was proud of him, too. "You sure did good, son," I told him, as he stood there using both arms to hold the big fish up. "I'll bet it weighs 20 pounds, Mom, or at least 7 or 8. "I'll bet you're right, son." The fish was still flapping. Soon it was bedtime. There was only 2 full-size beds in one room. The 3 kids had to share a bed, unlike at home. So, of course, they bickered for a while after they laid down. "Move over. You're taking all the room. You're taking all the covers. No, you move over. I can't. I'm on the edge of the bed now." "Okay, kids, let's go to sleep. Good night, Sunshine," Darren says. "Good night, Darren," Sunshine said. "Good night, Sonia," Darren continues. "Okay, you guys, this ain't the Waltons. Let's go to sleep. Good night, everybody, and God keep us all." The next morning, we woke bright and early. Darren, Sonia, Gary were soon out the cabin door. But I can be one of those slow risers if given the opportunity. This morning, with Sissy taking care of Dean and no bottles to get, I thought I'd take advantage of the situation and just lay there in bed. I could see Sunshine's head just barely sticking out from under the covers. "Sunshine," I called softly, "is my Sunshine awake?" "Yes, Mama," she answered. "Are you going to be a lazy bones this morning, Sunshine?" "I guess, Mama." I slipped out of my bed and climbed in with her. She turned over and put her little head on my arm. "I don't feel good, Mama." She had never been a complainer, just the opposite. I usually had to drag it out of her when something was wrong. "What's the matter, Sunshine?" "My back and stomach hurt." "Show me where, sweetheart." She put her arms around her back, then around her waist and the lower part of her stomach. I felt her forehead for a fever. "You feel a little warm, baby. Let me get you a glass of water." I got up, fetched her a drink, then went outside to tell the others. Immediately, Darren and Sonia ran back in the house and sat down beside her, each taking one of their hands. Sunshine had had a chronic kidney problem since she was born. During one of the operations, we almost lost her. "You'll be all right, Sunshine," Darren said, patting her hand. Sonia got a cool wash rag and bathed Sunshine's face. Gary was already packing our things and loading them into the car. "We're going to take you to the doctor, Sunshine. You'll be all right." I picked her up and started to the car with her. "Mama," she asked, looking up my eyes, "do you think the angels tell God when you're sick?" "Well, Sunshine, I suppose they probably do." "Well, good," she said. By this time, her fever was climbing and her face was very flushed. All the way back to town, I held Sunshine and prayed to God to heal her. Prayed that another operation wouldn't be necessary. I was raised on the power of prayer. My grandmother was used mightily for God in praying for the hurt and the sick. When I was 3, I pulled a pot of boiling soup off the stove, got third-degree burns on my face and chest, and the doctor said I would need extensive surgery. But by the grace of God and my grandmother's prayers, I was instantly healed under the bandages. And that wasn't the first time I recall God using my grandmother. Many times I've watched as neighbors from her home countryside brought a family member to her for prayer. I had experienced the mighty power of God many times, for myself and my children. Through my grandmother, I knew God could heal. All the way to the hospital, I prayed for my sunshine. God, why does she have to go through so much? She's the sweetest, most loving, most obedient child. Yet she has suffered so much in her little life. I don't understand why you don't just heal her, Lord, so she won't have to go through all of this. Sunshine's temperature climbed even higher. Still, she kept consoling me. I'll be all right, Mama, don't worry. I know you will, baby, I said as I carried her in through the emergency room entrance. After examining her, they called her doctor and described her condition to him. Then they let me talk to him. I'm having them run several tests on her, he told me. I told them to go ahead and admit her as a precaution. We'll have the test back by morning, but I'm sure it's her kidneys again. Sunshine had been born with a malformed bowel between her kidneys and her bladder. Despite the first surgery that corrected it, we had been told that she would need another in a few years. So it hadn't been that long. I hated to think that she needed the surgery so soon. I told the others what the doctor had said. They decided to go home. I asked for a cot so I could sleep with her in her room. She never whined or complained, but I could see she was in a lot of pain. The doctor had ordered antibiotics for her, but nothing for her pain. She had a hard night, tossing and turning and crying out in her sleep. Despite the antibiotics and the IV, her temperature went to 105. The nurses took turns bathing her down. At 8 o'clock the next morning, the doctor arrived. After visiting with Sunshine, he took me out in the hall. She's a mighty sick little girl. It seems the valve between her kidneys and bladder has collapsed. As soon as we get her fever down, we'll have to operate. We'll give it 24 hours so you can plan on the operation being tomorrow afternoon. So, with the temperature still up a little, they got her prepared for surgery the next afternoon at 2 o'clock. I walked alongside the gurney and held her hand all the way into the operating room. Sure, you'll be okay, baby, I said with my heart in my throat. I'll be waiting right out here for you, okay? Okay, Mama, she said, very drowsy. Don't worry. And then they wheeled her in through the door. I stood there outside the operating room until someone asked me to be seated in the waiting room. God, I prayed, she's only 7 years old and already she's been on the operating table 4 times. I don't understand why her. Finally, the doctor came out. Well, is Sunshine all right? Yes, but there has been some damage to her kidneys. It will be some time before she's back on her feet. She'll need to stay in the hospital for several more days for treatment. But she'll be all right after that, I think. Can I see her now? You can go to the recovery room, but she won't be awake for a while. In the recovery room, they directed me to Sunshine. I could see her little form under the covers. Only her head and one arm were out, with needles and tubes attached to her from an IV. She was still unconscious. As I approached her bed, I cried out to God in my spirit, please spare her from any more pain. Spare her the need for any more surgery. I picked her little hand up with the IV tube leading in it. and touched her face gently. "Sunshine," I whispered, bending over and give her a kiss on her forehead. "Sunshine, Mama's here. Can you hear me?" She turned her little head and whispered faintly, "Mama, are you here?" "Yes, sweetheart, I'm here." Where did he go, Mama?" "Who, baby?" "The big man, Mama." She must have meant doctor or an orderly, I thought. I attached no further significance to it. "He left, sweetheart. It's only me and my sunshine here." She smiled. "He was so nice, Mama." And then she dozed off again. I sat there holding her hand, looking at her sweet little face. How blessed I am to have been given the privilege of being her mother. How blessed I am indeed. Back in her room, she seemed to be feeling much better. In a few days, she was visiting with the other children, telling them about her surgery and how the doctors told her funny jokes before she went to sleep in the operating room. She handled it all very well.